Hey guys, today's episode with Monty Williams from the Phoenix Suns is presented by our friends at Compassion International and their Fill the Stadium initiative. Check out fillthestadium.com right now to learn more and to donate to help children and their families in crisis due to COVID-19. 70,000 kids and their families that are in Compassion International programs were left without that support that they normally get. So Compassion said, listen, we're not just going to sit on the wayside here. We're going to partner with our pro athlete friends and Compassion to help fill this stadium. 70,000 is the capacity of an average pro football stadium. And thankfully, we've been doing this now for about a year and a half. I'm telling you, we've made such a dent in this. 63,000 seats have been filled thus far. But our goal is 70,000, which means our work is not done. Compassion's work is not done. You can help restore what COVID-19 destroyed. We're talking about essential food, medical care, and support for a child and their family during this pandemic. You can donate right now. Make sure you pray about it. Talk with your family, talk with your friends, and let them know about fillthestadium.com. Pray about it, and maybe you could donate as well and help these kids and their families in crisis. Check out Compassion International's website again, fillthestadium.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
And welcome everyone to the show. I am Jason Romano. This is the Sports Spectrum podcast. We are the intersection of sports and faith. You can check out our content for free at sportsspectrum.com. On that website, you'll have devotionals there, podcasts, articles, stories, all bringing Jesus into the sports conversation, and all for free right there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And when you get there, click that newsletter icon at the top and sign up for Sports Spectrum Weekly. That's our weekly newsletter. It's free. It'll come to your email inbox once a week and kind of update you on all that's been happening at Sports Spectrum and the articles and podcasts and stories that you may have missed. You can sign up right there for free, so they just come right to your inbox and you can keep tabs on what's been going on in our Sports Spectrum world, and sign up for that weekly newsletter at sportsspectrum.com. We have a great conversation today with one of the best people in sports. He's Monty Williams. He's the head coach of the Phoenix Suns. If you're a basketball fan or even a casual sports fan, you know they are the Western Conference champion Phoenix Suns after an amazing run in 2020 and 2021 that led them to their first NBA Finals appearance since 1993. Monty was on the show a couple years ago talking about his testimony, his faith, and taking that job with Phoenix. We wanted to invite him back because so much has happened in 2 years, and certainly the success that they had this year on the court was amazing to watch. But I'm always more interested in what the Lord is teaching and doing in the life of someone like Monty Williams. And listen, when we did this interview, before we started, we prayed. I love the faith that Monty has. I love that he filters everything that he does and says through the lens of his relationship with Christ. And I think you'll really love this conversation with Monty Williams. We talk a lot about certainly basketball last year, but a lot about what God has done in his life. This is one of my favorite conversations, maybe we've ever done, and it's with Monty Williams, Phoenix Suns head coach, coming up right now on Sports Spectrum. Let's take a listen. Coach Monty Williams, welcome back to Sports Spectrum, sir. How are you?
Jason, I'm well. Certainly appreciate you having me on your show. And there's been a lot that's happened and a lot that the Lord has done in and through us. And I am a perfect example of him using broken vessels what other people would throw away as trash or say couldn't do whatever. And they probably are right. And yet God does what he does anyway. And so I'm thankful for that and thankful for this platform that we can be able to glorify him and talk about him and all the good that he does through us.
Absolutely. Well, that's what we're about, bringing Jesus back into the conversation. So I'm glad we can have this into the sports conversation, I should say, too. So I'm glad we can have this discussion as well. I do want to start with a little on the court, just because I think it's interesting as we talk. It's a couple, you know, months or so before, about a month before the season starts. And I'm wondering for you, at what point were you able to put 2021 and the finals in the rear view and begin to focus on this season? Did you allow yourself to kind of, I don't want to call it grieving because that's not even a fair word to use, but it was a tough loss, obviously, but a great year. Are you allowing yourself, or at what point did you allow yourself to kind of put that all in the rear view and push forward?
I think it took me probably about a week or two to kind of get over myself. Okay. And realize that I didn't deserve to win, you know, compete because you get to compete. You know, I'm in the NBA because I get to be in the NBA, and the outcome is not always of your choosing. And, you know, Charles Stanley always talks about be obedient and let God deal with the consequences or the results. And so, and then I heard a really good quote. You can only compare yourself to who you were yesterday. And I can't keep going back there, you know. Just got to keep getting better as a dad, as a husband, as a coach. And I'll always, you know, feel that pain of losing, but I've been in the NBA now 3 decades and have done a lot of cool things. And, you know, I'm grateful that I had a chance to be in that environment and compete for a championship. And it didn't go our way, but there was a lot of good stuff that happened along the way.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you able to look at last season and appreciate all the good that took place in the midst of such a tough finish?
I think it takes time. You know, when you're in it, you can't focus on that or even go there. But once it's over with and you start to evaluate the season, look at the things that you can do better, you start to see like, man, we did some really good stuff. And, you know, you just see God's hand in it all because you know who you are in part. God knows you better. And you know you're not that good based on the results that you you saw. And you're like, holy smokes, man, God has, you know, done a lot since we've been here in Phoenix. And we talk to our players about the privilege of doing what we do. We say this is a get to and not a got to, and we get to be in these moments and in these situations.
I want to go back to 2020 for a minute in the Orlando bubble. The turnaround with the Suns, at least from the outside, maybe in the inside it was different, but it looked like the turnaround really started there when you guys went 8-0 to finish the regular season, just barely missed the playoffs. And I know Chris Paul wasn't there yet, and lots of different things have happened since, and it's probably a different team, but it probably, I have to imagine, was a starting point to give you guys some confidence to go into what turned out to be a really great year last year. Can you pinpoint anything that happened in the bubble that turned things around?
There was a lot. Jason, I mean, we had people, you know, there was a number of narratives that said we shouldn't even be in the bubble based on our record at the time, even though we were improving. But then it was like a second training camp for us. You know, we had that hiatus, and then before we went to the bubble, we had a chance to go to the madhouse here in Phoenix, and we got a ton of work in with our guys. And so that was like a second training camp for us. But the camaraderie, the closeness that we experienced, because it was just us. And every day you're in the hotel with a number of teams that you're going to have to face. So it made you even tighter. And we just got tighter and closer, and we grew. And every game there was a big game. We knew we had to win every game to even have a chance. And we missed it by a half a game. And it was a huge turning point for us, journey point for us, because in so many ways, we put our fate in someone else's hands to, you know, come up short like that. Then you start to think about earlier in the season when you didn't do certain things you could have done. And I think that was a point in time for us to recognize that, like, you can control your destiny to a degree with your preparation, things you do on and off the floor. And so we had a chance to talk about a lot of that stuff in Orlando.
What was that like for you spiritually, being down there and isolated? And, you know, we're built for a community. as people, but especially as believers, and we need people around us. What was that like for you, kind of trying to stay connected to God and you know, be fed in the Word? And yeah, I'm sure there was Zoom and other areas that you can do that, but what was that like for you during that time down there?
Yeah, I mean, it gave me a chance to lock into my Bible study, my time even more. You know, I have a bit of a routine that I try not to make it superstition or traditional. I try to, as best I can, lock into my Bible study time. Right now I'm doing Paul David Tripp's New Morning Mercies. And I had another one. My daily walk Bible was the one I used in the bubble. And since then I've gone on to John MacArthur's, and that was my time in the morning. And then there were other believers on different teams and on our team that you got more time to fellowship with. Harrison Barnes is a guy that he and I have gotten so close since we were on the Olympic team together. And you have more time to spend with those guys because it's just basketball teams, the gym, the bus, the hotel, and the lake out back. And, you know, a number of FaceTimes with my boys back home where we did Devos, but I had more time than they did. So I was, you know, reading more and just trying to lock into the things that are important. And then you realize, like, man, you know, I miss my family. And I'm so blessed to have them. And it was, to answer your question, I had a lot of time to, you know, get in the Word, but also pray. And I had a lot of quiet time, you know, something that I missed being in that kind of bubble environment is the quiet time that is so important. And that's why my morning devos are so important, no matter where I am, because it's so quiet and I've learned to appreciate that time.
I want to kind of go back a little bit, you know, we kind of jump into basketball and back into faith. And there was a moment last year, really just a couple months ago in the finals, after they ended, you went in and did something so unique. And I'm a big NBA fan. I mean, I go back to the early 80s and I don't think I've ever seen anything like this where you went into the locker room of the Bucks amidst their celebration to congratulate them. Now, it's one thing to do it at a press conference. It's another to go right in there, and it was filmed and made the social media rounds and people got to see it. And I thought it was just such an incredibly humble thing to do, and a very probably difficult thing to do too, to kind of humble yourself to walk in there and congratulate the people that just beat you four in a row. Why did you do that? What was it that led you to go into that locker room?
Well, Jason, it's probably gotten more play than first of all, I just didn't even think anybody would see that until I got into the locker room. And then I realized, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I knew the NBA cameras were going to be there. But what happened was I saw Giannis when I came out and I ran into him and I congratulated him. And he was like, hey, we're going to do it again, that kind of thing. And I was like, okay. And then because of my history in those moments, I remember when Coach Larry Brown came over to our locker room in San Antonio to congratulate Pop and the staff. This past year, Tim Connelly with the Denver Nuggets did the same thing when we beat them. And so my intention was to go in and just congratulate Bud and John Horst. And I just followed Giannis. And I had no idea he was going to take me into the locker room where there was about 200 people in there celebrating. And so it was not only humbling, not that I showed humility, but it was humbling and cruel to have to go in there and do that. And I just decided to, you know, give them their props. They beat us. And it's one thing I've learned from my granddad and different men that I've who've had an impact on me. When somebody kicks your butt, you look them in the eye, shake their hand, and move forward. And hopefully, you know, someday you'll get your chance to be on the other side. But I certainly wasn't trying to be classy or sportsmanlike. But in that moment, I just thought, like, okay, I'm here. Right. It'd be short and quick. But it was cruel too. I was like, oh my gosh, this can't get any worse.
Right. It's like literally humbling yourself.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Denying yourself and going in there. That's no
doubt.
Difficult.
No doubt. I felt really small as I walked out of that locker room.
Monty Williams is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. for your job, I know you're not a team chaplain, you're a coach, and that's what you were hired to do with Phoenix, and do it, you did it very well these past couple of years. But let's talk about the sort of impact your faith plays in the role of you being a coach. Obviously, you're coaching basketball and you're coaching men and you're leading men in a game and in life, but your faith plays a role in, and really for me, it plays a role in everything that I do. How does that faith play a role in how you specifically coach your players?
Well, I think it's changed since I was a coach in New Orleans. When I was in New Orleans, I probably tried to control everything. And as I've grown in my faith, and the Lord has graciously impressed upon me some things that I needed to learn, I've learned that I don't have that much control. And my job is to serve and love people. And the way I try to do that is using my platform as a coach to, you know, elevate everybody I'm around so that they can be their best. And, you know, one of my anchor verses is Colossians 3:23, is doing my work is unto the Lord and not unto man. Another anchor verse for me is Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Those two verses help me in my coaching, because no matter what's going on, a big win or a tough loss, I know that I'm there to do God's will, and I don't do it well, and I fail daily, but that's my reference point. That's my lighthouse. And in doing that, you know, my goal is to serve and to elevate people as best I can. And on a really good day, I'm pretty average at coaching. You know, that's, you know, I know that. I've been around the great ones, and I kind of know I'm not that. And so I rely on the Lord to, you know, do what he's going to do through me. And the only thing I know that I can do every day is serve others. And that's basically the foundation of my coaching.
Why is serving the foundation? Why is that the most important thing for you?
Well, it's what Jesus mandated. You know, that's our example. You know, I my idol growing up was my granddad, and he was a landscaper, and that's what he did. He served people. And, you know, as I fell into the trap of idolizing athletes and other people with money, as I got into my teenage years, I realized that my granddad was the one that I could relate most to, but he was the one that looked more like Christ than anybody that I had been around, because of that attitude of, you know, taking care of somebody's yard, or, you know, picking up a hitchhiker on the side of the road. Like, I watched my grandfather do that the first 20 years of my life, and it had a huge impact on me. And he never talked about, he never preached it, he lived it every day. And then my dad's father was the one who introduced me to the faith, and he did the same thing. He's been a pastor for over 50 plus years. And so those two guys modeled it in front of me.
What's a typical season like? I guess last year was still a little bit different than the bubble year because of COVID. You still had restrictions and things, but you were back in your you know, home residence, and you're back able to be back in Phoenix, and obviously had a great success. And it was great to have fans, by the way, and watch them be as loud as they were in Phoenix during the finals. But for you, you said you kind of have a rhythm that you try not to be too religious about, but during a season, but what does Bible study look like? What is, you know, being in a small group, anything like that? Because it's obviously you're trying to coach too, and that's such a long season. What does that look like for you?
Well, I mean, one of the greatest gifts I have, and I've had it since 2012, is Pastor Bill Gebhardt of Fellowship Bible Church in Metairie, Louisiana. He's my spiritual mentor. He's like my dad. I talk to him on a daily basis about life, about the word, about everything. And that's, he's been my go-to, he and his wife, Velma, since 2012. And so for me, being able to pick up the phone and talk to, I call him PB, talk to him on a daily basis about, you know, something I'm struggling with or something in the word that you know, he and I kind of chew on. That's probably number one after my own time in the Word in the morning, which typically happens about 5:45, 6 in the morning. I've just tried to stay with that the last 5 years since my wife has gone on to be with the Lord. And then we have chapels before the game where I get a chance to fellowship with our players and other players and coaches from other teams. And we do that about 60 minutes on the clock before the game. And then the other high level thing that I get to do is have devos with my family on non-game nights right before the boys go to bed. We choose a devo or a Bible verse to, you know, read, pray about. And I usually end up talking to the boys about something stupid I did and relating it to the Word so that they don't do the same thing. And that's probably, as my older girls have said since they're older and moved on, that they miss the most is our family devo time. So that's really important for me and us.
Sounds like it's important to be vulnerable with your children too and let them know, hey, I screw up here too, and I'm a mess just as much as we all are. That's a pretty cool trait to have. Is that something you learned from your father and your grandparents?
Yeah, probably more from the leaders that I've been around. Certainly Pastor Bill, Greg Popovich has been someone that has always been vulnerable and real with me in our quiet time together on the phone or in person. And it had a huge impact on me. And I think for my children, because of the job that I've had since they were born, they probably would look at me a certain way if I didn't share those things. And when I do relate that to them, I think it makes us closer. Because, you know, I'm a doofus at heart, and I know they're going to do doofus things as they continue to grow. And so it's like, you know, to be able to have that connection, but also be able to talk about the grace of God. You know, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. And there's nothing that you can do that God's grace can't erase and cover. And, you know, we're the only ones that have that hope as believers in Christ.
You mentioned in the beginning that God had taught you so much and you had learned so much since the last time we spoke, which is over two years ago. What are some of the things that kind of pop in your mind when you think about the last couple of years and the lessons that maybe God has been speaking to you or impressing on your heart when you think back over the last 24 months or so?
Yeah, I mean, it's been humbling to be here. You know, we've worked our tails off, but at the same time, you know, to see what the Lord has done here in Phoenix, you know, I'd love to sit here and expound on all the plays I draw up and the new drills I come up with, but that's just not the case. There's not a coach in the world that goes into the gym and says, hey, I hope you guys stink today, and, you know, you three don't run back on defense, and I hope you four guys show up late tomorrow. Like, nobody does that. We all try to teach good stuff, and I am blown away at what the Lord has done, and it's humbling to see it, but it's also a joy to be a part of it. And I've learned to just do the best I can and rely on Him, but I'm also more grateful for the people that I get to be around and work with. I didn't think I took that for granted when I was in New Orleans, and now I try to enjoy it more.
That's great. My last question for you, with the season almost upon us here, and it's crazy to think another season is going to be starting soon. How can we be praying for you? What are some of the things that you would, our audience, you know, a lot of people love Jesus and love sports. That's kind of our audience. What can they be praying for Monty Williams for when they're thinking about this season, just what you're going through right now?
Yeah, I mean, there's so you always want to have success, right? Like that's why we do this. But what I prayed for before I got a head coaching job is that I'd have a job that was exciting and fun. And it was a place where, people wanted to work. And in that environment, they would see, you know, the love of Christ, you know, and as God uses, you know, broken vessels like me and our coaching staff to do what He's going to do. And then for my family, You know, what I do is pretty, it stretches you. And I'm gone a lot, and you know, I'm raising six kids now. I have a new wife and a new stepson, and I have kids from 23 all the way down to 11. And you know, being a good husband and a good father, and you know, I'll never not grieve the loss of my wife Ingrid. And so that's something that, you know, from time to time, I still break down and cry and as I think about her and think about what we had. And yet I have to move forward and do what the Lord has called me to do. So, you know, the prayers mean a lot. And I get text messages and emails. And you know, I was walking in the airport the other day and a young man came up to me and had no idea the guy even knew who I was. And he just talked to me about, you know, what it meant to him, the eulogy that happened at my wife's funeral. And so those prayers and then that encouragement means a ton. So, yeah, we want to have success. We want to have an impact while we're here. We want this place to be an exciting, inviting place. We want people to see, you know, that God can do amazing things in an organization, you know, and he's done it. And for my family.
You also have a big birthday on October 8th. Can you celebrate that birthday being 50, or do you kind of dread it?
You know what? I don't think my family, my first wife, Ingrid, used to give me the blues because I didn't like celebrating my birthday. I was always just happy that they were happy.
Yeah.
And she would get on me. She's like, don't you take this away from us. We want to celebrate with you. We're going to have a good time and you're going to enjoy it. And I would be like, okay. And now I've just learned to enjoy it. You know, I'm almost 50 years old and I'm so grateful. You know, I've often said about my life, God has knocked the ball out of the park and I get to run the bases. And there's been some heartaches, a lot of bad decisions on my part, some trials, but God has been good through it all. And his plans for us are good to give us a future and a hope. And I'm an example of that. And so I'm just grateful for what he's done in my life, grateful for, you know, 50 years and I think 26, 27 years in the NBA. Like I couldn't even imagine that when I was a kid with my mother in a one bedroom apartment, when I gave my life to the Lord at 10 years old, like I couldn't even imagine, you know, that. So the Lord has been good and I'm grateful for what he's done in my life.
Well, we're grateful you took the time to spend a few minutes with us here on Sports Spectrum. Monty Williams, thanks so much. Best of luck and all the great success that you can have hopefully this year. But either way, we're just grateful that you came on the show and shared a little bit about what God is doing in your life. Thanks for joining us.
Jason, thank you, man. I appreciate you having me on. God bless you.
And many thanks to Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, Western Conference champion Phoenix Suns, for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. And he's amazing. He really is. And I want you to think about this too. Our next issue of Sports Spectrum's magazine is coming out in December. And Monty's going to be featured in this magazine, on the cover and in the magazine. And it's going to be an amazing story that's going to be even more fleshed out than what you just heard in this conversation. So I want you to subscribe, if you could, to Sports Spectrum's magazine, which I think is the best resource you can get from us at Sports Spectrum to share the gospel with other people, especially those who are sports fans and you want to introduce them to Jesus. But Monty is just one of the best people. He really is. And I love how humble he is. Like the fact that he's like, I'm just an average coach. I'm just a broken vessel who messes up every single day. It's such a great reminder for me to remember that we're not all that. In fact, we're nothing without Christ. And anything that we accomplish, I think he said in his life, you know, Christ has hit it out of the park and he's just running the bases. I thought that is such a great way to look at how this life is as Christ followers. And I mean, listen, I'm a Boston Celtics fan. I've been since I was 8 years old, but I'm going to be rooting for the Phoenix Suns this year and Monty Williams. How can you not? I mean, he's just such a great dude. I hope Phoenix gets back there again and gets an opportunity to play for another NBA championship. But either way, I just love the passion and the heart and the humility of Monty Williams. He's just awesome. So we appreciate him. I know he's not doing a lot of interviews, so this really meant a lot for him to say yes to us. And we're really, truly grateful that he's joining us here on Sports Spectrum and joined us here on Sports Spectrum today. Again, make sure you get a subscription to the magazine. It's only $18 for a whole year, but he's going to be featured in the next magazine. That's going to be a story that you want to share with someone and tell others about. And so you can subscribe right now at sportsspectrum.com. Click the magazine icon at the top and subscribe. It's super cheap. Again, $18 for a whole year. You can actually get 2 years for $30. So you can sign up right now at sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you rate and review and subscribe to this podcast. Let others know about our content and about our Sports Spectrum podcast. And join us next time right here on Sports Spectrum. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. Stay safe, and we'll see you soon.